in his life. Darth Maul had been taken completely by surprise. He had felt no warning vibration of the Force before being hit by the blaster bolts. The astonishment this caused him was almost equaled by the shock of realizing that the attack had come from Lorn Pavan. He had been so certain of the Corellian's death back on Coruscant that awakening to see him alive and looting his utility belt had caused Maul to momentarily question his own sanity. It was the combined shock of these two events, plus the confusing fact that even though he could see Pavan before him, he could not sense his presence with the Force, that had slowed his reaction time just enough to let the Corellian get through the hatchway and lock it in Maul's face. Now he had to burn his way through the lock mechanism. As soon as the hatch came loose, he savagely hurled it open and shot after Pavan, using the Force to propel his weightless self in pursuit. There was no time to lose. He did not know how Pavan had escaped the explosion back in the storage facility, or how he was able to block his presence in the Force. And he did not care. In a few minutes, his master would be at the rendezvous point, and Maul intended to be there as well, holding the holocron in one hand and Pavan's severed head in the other. This had gone on long enough. Lorn hauled himself up another vertical shaft, moving as fast as he could with only one hand to aid him. His one hope was to reach the space station's main section, where he could find some kind of security personnel. Surely, with enough blasters between him and the Sith, he would be safe. It seemed impossible now that he had ever seriously intended, even for a moment, to kill the black-robed creature. That he had even managed to take the holocron away from him now seemed a miracle. And then he shouldered his way through one final access port and found himself in a large solarium. As he passed through the entry, Lorn felt wakefulness return with a rush. He looked around. Plants and dwarf trees were tastefully arranged in a small garden setting. Half of the domed ceiling was made of polarized transparisteel, affording a magnificent view of the stars and a huge crescent of the planet. And standing in the garden were several people of various species, some of whom were wearing the robes of Republic Senate members, and others dressed in the dark, form-fitting attire of Coruscant guards. He recognized one of the senators. When he had worked for the Jedi, Lorn had heard him spoken of many times, always as a man of clear-minded practicality, a stranger to corruption and intrigue. If anyone could be counted on to protect the information on the holocron and see it safely reach the sanctuary of the Jedi Temple, it would be him. Lorn staggered forward. One of the senators, a Gran, saw him coming and reacted with a bleat of fright. Several of the guards moved in to protect their charges, drawing blasters. "Wait!" The command came from the senator whom Lorn had recognized. He stepped forward, his expression one of concern. "What's the matter, my good fellow? What brings you here in this extreme state?" Lorn pulled the crystal from his pocket and held it out. He saw the other's eyes narrow as he recognized it. "A holocron crystal?" "Yes," Lorn gasped, dropping it into the senator's outstretched hand. "It must reach the Jedi. Very important." The senator nodded, and quickly tucked the holocron away in a fold of his robe. Then he noticed the stump where Lorne's other hand had been. "You're injured." He turned to one of the guards, summoning him with a quick, imperious gesture. "This man requires hospitalization immediately, and protection from assassins as well, by the look of it." Lorn sagged into a chair. As the others came forward, he risked a glance over his shoulder at the service port where he had entered. There was no sign of the Sith. Relief flooded over him. The nightmare was over at last. He felt his consciousness starting to slip away and realized that for the first time in days he could allow himself the luxury of exhaustion. "Make sure the holocron," he mumbled, but was too tired to finish the sentence. His benefactor leaned over him and smiled. "Don't worry, my brave friend. I'll take care of it. Everything will be all right now. Lorne managed to mumble, Thank you, Senator Palpatine. And then everything faded. When Obi-Wan Kenobi reached the temple, he could tell immediately that something was wrong. It wasn't just the ominous reverberations in the Force that pulsed invisibly all around him. The Padawans and messengers he passed in the hallways all wore looks of concern and concentration. One of them saw him and stopped. Padawan Kenobi, you are to report to your master immediately. Then he continued on his way before Obi-Wan could ask what was causing the palpable air of tension. He found the door to Master Qui-Gon's domicile open. The Jedi was inside, loading his utility belt with field items such as an ascension gun and food capsules. He evidenced relief when he saw Obi-Wan standing in the doorway. Excellent. You have returned just in time. What's happened, Master? The Trade Federation has blockaded Naboo. You and I have been selected as ambassadors to the Trade Federation flagship to settle this. Obi-Wan felt stunned at the magnitude of this news. Surely the Republic Senate will condemn such an action? I suspect the Nemoidians are counting on the Senate's past record of being less than effective in such matters. In any event, we must leave immediately. I understand, but I must tell you, Master Anun Bandara and his Padawan, Dasha Asant, are both dead. There is no doubt of this. Master Qui-Gon paused in his packing and looked at Obi-Wan. The Padawan could see the sadness in his mentor's eyes. And the cause of this tragedy? I'm still not certain, although I suspect Black Sun involvement. I want to hear all about it, Master Qui-Gon said, and so will the Council. But speed is of the essence now. You will make your report to them via holotransmission once we're on our way. Yes, Master. Obi-Wan followed Qui-Gon Jinn as the latter strapped his belt around his waist and left the room. He would do as his master said, of course. Obviously, this new crisis superseded the events that had taken place in the Crimson Corridor. As he followed Master Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan wondered if he would ever know the complete story of what happened to Dasha and Master Bandara. She had had the potential to be a good Jedi Knight, and he grieved for her passing. The Sith lunged for him, twin energy blades flashing. Lorne awoke with a gasp. He stared about him, still feeling for a moment the panic of his nightmare. Then slowly, as his eyes took in his surroundings, he began to relax. He was in a private room in a hotel, nothing fancy, but far superior to what he had been used to for the past 5 years. His severed wrist had been treated with synth flesh, and he had been told by Senator Palpatine that within a few days a prosthetic replacement would be grafted on. More importantly, Palpatine had also told him that the information crystal had been delivered to the Jedi Temple and the assassin captured. In short, Lorne had won. Not completely, of course. He still mourned the death of Dasha. He was also concerned about I-5's whereabouts. Apparently the droid had never made it to the temple. A Pyrrhic victory, but a victory nonetheless. He had been given his choice of futures, relocation to a colony world somewhere in the Outer Rim, or a permanent address in a monad on Coruscant. Either way, he had been assured that the bank fraud charges had been dropped, and he would be awarded a stipend that would allow him and I-5 to live comfortably. He hadn't decided yet what to do, although he was leaning towards staying on Coruscant. By staying, he could possibly re-establish some form of relationship with Jax. The Jedi owed him that much, at least. Also, he owed it to himself. It was time he started to live again. A real life, not the empty mockery he had been trapped in for so long down levels. It might take a long time for the nightmares to subside, but eventually they would. Eventually, he would know peace. Lorne got out of the bed. In the closet was a new set of clothes, which he put on. He had no place in particular to go, but he felt like getting outside. He needed to feel the sun on his face, to breathe clean air. It had been a long time since he had enjoyed those simple pleasures. He opened the door. The Sith stood before him. Lorn was too stunned to even be afraid. His enemy stepped forward, implacable, unstoppable, and activated his lightsaber. Lorn knew there was nothing he could do. The hotel room was small, barren of weapons, with only the one door. This time, there was no escape. Surprisingly, in that moment, the final moment of his life, he found he was not afraid. He was at peace. The information about the Sith had been given to the Jedi. His death, Lorn realized, was in the service of a higher purpose. He was content that it be so. The lightsaber's blade shimmered toward him. His last thought was of his son. His last emotion was pride that someday Jax would be a Jedi Knight. Looking into Pavan's eyes, Darth Maul knew what the man was thinking. Even were he not Force-sensitive, he could have read it clearly in his enemy's eyes and expression. He said nothing. Though Maul had no compunctions about killing anyone who stood in his or his master's way, he was not without a sense of honor. Lorn Pavan had managed, against all odds, to be more of a challenge to Maul than many of the professional killers of Black Sun. He was a worthy opponent, and had earned the right to die quickly. The lightsaber sizzled through the air, through flesh, through bone. Darth Maul turned and walked away, his mission at last complete. Other titles in the Star Wars series available on audio from Random House Audiobooks are Dark Tide 1, Onslaught, Agents of Chaos 1, Hero's Trial, and Agents of Chaos 2, Jedi Eclipse, The New Jedi Order, Balance Point. Star Wars Darth Maul Shadow Hunter is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2001. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production, copyright 2001, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.